Great. We should have the first slide up. Excellent. We are continuing this series on Malachi. And this morning, we've reached the end of Malachi 2 and the beginning of 3. And the theme today is questioning God's timing. I wonder, what are your plans for this year? Are they the same as last year and previous years? And do you feel God hasn't answered your prayers yet? Are you questioning God's timing? Do you say, I wish God would hurry up and act? Have you experienced a delay or a detour and you can't understand what on earth God is doing? If you do, you're not alone. People have been asking those questions for the last 2,500 years. I'm going to talk this morning about three types of people who experienced a delay and couldn't understand what God was doing. They questioned his timing, and then they saw what God's plan was and how important that timing was. Firstly, I'm going to major on the book of Malachi, the passage this morning, to talk about the Jewish people God speaks about in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Secondly, I'm going to refer to a story briefly in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 27, when the Apostle Paul believed that God was sending him to Rome to appeal to Caesar, because Paul was unwilling to accept the judgment of the provincial governor in Judea. But then Paul was shipwrecked on the way. He ended up in Malta. Paul must have been wondering, why on earth this unnecessary delay for 3 months? Thirdly, I'm going to tell a personal story about me, having to spend an extra 12 months at school when I was all set to leave home and go to university. I certainly questioned God's timing, said, why this unnecessary delay? So firstly, the people of Malachi. Let's start with the Jewish people of Malachi. I'll just check that's... Yeah. Right. It worked before the service. Okay, next slide. I'll put my hand up. I'll go back to the old technology. Starting with Malachi, the Jews were questioning God's timing around 460 to 430 BC in this morning's passage from Malachi. The date was about 80 years after Haggai and Zechariah had spurred the people on to rebuild the temple. Next, please. After returning from Babylon, modern-day Iraq. Now the people had returned to the promised land, the temple had been rebuilt. And what had become of the restored prosperity, the international importance and wealth that the Jews had been promised? All the Jews would know Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, which says, this is what the Lord says, when the 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But Israel was experiencing the exact opposite. Continued social and political oppression, economic deprivation. Still worse, it had been promised that God would return to Jerusalem and to his temple, which he would again inhabit with his own glorious presence, and the Jews could see no sign of that. Since Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple were filled with the visible glory of God as soon as they completed it, it was natural to expect that the same would happen to the rebuilt temple. And the Jews would remember Haggai 2 verse 9, where it had been promised the second temple would be filled with an even greater measure of glory than Solomon's temple. Disillusion had set in. The Jews were finding it hard to hold on to their hope. The waiting dragged on. It led to an increasingly reluctance to worship and to try and keep God's standards, which he'd set for them. The Jews thought they were being perfectly reasonable in questioning God's timing and crying out for justice. And I must say, I have a certain sympathy for the Jews. Not often I say that about the Jews in the Old Testament, but Malachi, they have a certain sympathy with me. But when they questioned Malachi, did he put his arm round them like all good social workers and people who were helping people? Did he say, yes, I understand your feeling. No, Malachi was from the hard school of Knox. There was no sympathetic answer from him. The blunt school of counselling that he'd been brought up in said this. He says, you've wearied the Lord with your words. How were they doing that? By disregarding God's love. The Israelites were irritated with God for not giving them the material prosperity, the influence, the benefits they thought they all deserved. Then Malachi says the Jews are making this worse by asking, where's this God of justice? The Jews were probably thinking of the sin of the nations all around them. But Israel was just as bad. This was the nation that God had freed from Egypt into the promised land. But all they could do was to complain about the wilderness. This was the nation God had delivered from captivity in Babylon. But all they could do was to complain about the prosperity of the wicked. Now they had the temerity to say, God is not just. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, God gives his answers to the Jews, and it's as though everyone goes quiet. God says, this is the plan I've been promising all along. There's no delay. It is all part of my timing. And here it is. It begins with four scenes. Great. We're with it. Lovely. Firstly, 3 verse 1. I'm going to clear the way. I'm going to come to the temple, secondly. Thirdly, I'm going to cleanse the chosen in verse 3 of chapter 3. And fourthly, I'm going to condemn God's enemies in 3 verse 5. Firstly, clearing the way. God's messenger will clear the way. Does that sound familiar to you? That's the verse all four gospel writers connect with John the Baptist, who had the job of preparing the way for the Messiah. He had to remove the obstacles of belief through his proclamation of repentance. John was preparing the hearts of the people and bring them forgiveness of the one who would come soon and to bring forgiveness of their sins. Secondly, he was coming to the temple. God's Messiah will come to the temple, says in 3 verse 1. Jesus did go to the temple, as you know, to clear it of the traders and money launderers. But the expert's view of this is the significance is more of his coming as the great high priest, offering himself as the perfect sacrifice, tearing down the temple veil to allow us access to God. And cleansing, thirdly, the chosen. Thirdly, God's chosen will be cleansed. He will purify the descendants of Levi. But who can survive the day of his coming? Who can stand when Jesus appears? Well, the answer is those who repent to God. We can stand before him spiritually. And fourthly, he's going to come and condemn God's enemy. God's enemies. God's enemies will be condemned. And who are they in verse 5? I will draw near for judgment. I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulteresses, those who swear falsely, those who oppress the wage earners, and the widows and the orphans, and those who don't fear me. Verse 4 and 5 serve as a postscript, not just to Malachi, but to the Old Testament as a whole. They look back to the law given to the Jews in verse 4. Thus the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will again be pleasing to the Lord as they were in the former days. But remember, the Jews had to wait 400 years for those words of God through Malachi to come to pass. I wonder how many times they said during those 400 years, why the delay? What's going on? Moving on to the New Testament. An important anniversary yesterday. I know it was Love the Arbo, but it was another important anniversary. It might just have slipped your mind, so let me remind you of it. 1,965 years ago yesterday, the Apostle Paul landed on Malta on February the 10th, 59 AD. An event, you might not notice it or bother remembering it, but I promise you, the people of Malta celebrate it every year. The 500,000 population have a day's holiday and they have a feast and national celebration remembering when Paul came to this beautiful Mediterranean island. Have you ever had a bad boat trip or a ferry crossing? I bet it couldn't beat Paul's trip, no matter how bad it was. When I was 12 in 1965, I went on my first ever trip abroad, a school trip to Switzerland by train from Stoke to Lucerne. A group of about 40 of us. That crossing of the channel was horrific. The worst I've ever had. I'm much more now a fan of the channel. But anyway, couldn't be, even though it was bad, couldn't beat Paul's trip. Paul had had a horrendous journey. He'd had to make a detour and he didn't arrive at his planned destination. Firstly, there was a violent storm, then a shipwreck, before he had to swim to the safety of the shore. And there is St. Paul's Bay in Malta, where he actually landed. And then he wasn't in Italy where he planned to go. He'd ended up in Malta, 650 miles away from Rome. Then, as he hit the sand, was he safe? No! He got bitten by a snake. His real destination was Rome, because he had a vision from God that he would appear before the Emperor Nero, the most powerful man in the modern world, in the ancient world. Paul was probably asking God, why this untimely detour? It's going to take me another 3 months to reach Rome now. Why? What are you doing, God? Next one. My high school delay. I go back 53 years ago. I felt a bit like Malachi's Jews in the Apostle Paul. Back in 1971, as an 18-year-old pupil in Newcastle under Lyme High School, I'm in Newcastle High School, I fluffed my A-levels. The first time I'd fluffed any exams. Next slide, please. There I am. Haven't I done well over the years? Haven't I stood the time of well? I think I have anyway. All right, the hairstyle's changed, I do admit that. But I had a place in 53 years ago in 1971 to read social sciences at Birmingham University. And now I wouldn't be going that summer. My wife said, thank goodness, you'd have been a disaster in social services. Anyway, where was God in all this, I said. I'm trying to follow your plan. Why this unnecessary delay? What was God's answer to the Jews 2,500 years ago, the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago, and me 50 years ago, and to you this morning? Firstly, reassurance of God's love. Firstly, God reassures us all through his love. And through Malachi, whose name means my messenger, maybe in an actual name or a pen name, we don't know. But Malachi reminds the Jews of the love of God in Malachi, and he reminds us of that love through the Bible. In verse 6 it says, I, the Lord, do not change, and you have not ceased to be to the children of Jacob. In verse 7 says, ever since the days of your forefathers, you've been wayward and not kept my laws. But God then promises in verse 7, if you return to me, I shall return to you. That was a reassurance of his love. And secondly, the reassurance of his justice. Secondly, as the Jews, and we look around, it does seem unfair that many godless men and women are flourishing. The Jews in Malachi let their feelings be known by God seemed pleased with the evildoers because they seem to be doing well. They ask him, where is this God of justice? And God's reply to all their complaints, as I've said, is, you have wearied me with your talk. You might think, I'm doing nothing, but justice and right will prevail. I'm coming firstly to purify and then to judge. And he reassured his people, the Jews, and also us today, that we can all look forward to a new age of joyful freedom when evil will be totally destroyed and all ills healed. But remember, when God returns to his temple, in his timing, he will come like a refiner's fire, says in Malachi 3, verse 3. He will take his seat, testing and purifying everybody. And also, look what happened to Paul. The Roman colony of Malta became the first island in the Mediterranean to be Christian after Paul healed the father of the island leader, Publius, and many others. The Maltese were so thankful for his visit, they restocked his ship for the onward journey to Rome, and it led to nearly 2,000 years of Christianity on that island. And it was all thanks to a detour. What happened to me? I went back to school, did a third year in the sixth form. That third year in the sixth form changed my life. Instead of going to Birmingham University, I went on the Daily Mirror training scheme in Plymouth, where I became a newspaper journalist and editor for the next 44 years. Even more importantly, during that third year sixth, I started going out with a girl from the nearby grammar school. This July, Jan and I celebrate our 48th wedding anniversary, and it was all thanks to a detour in my life. I know what you're thinking, and I agree with you. How, Jan must be a saint, how on earth has she survived 48 years with me? And I agree with you. What about the application? I wonder if God is speaking to me and you at the beginning of a new year. What should I do if we feel God hasn't answered our prayers and we are questioning God's timing? Four suggestions to finish with. Firstly, ask God to show you his plan for this year. If you're wearying God with your cries of justice and waiting things to happen, then he's saying, trust me, I have a plan for your life, and my plan is bigger than your circumstances. Ask God to show you the plan for you this coming year. Secondly, ask God to show you his plan if you feel there's been a delay. If you're asking God why this unnecessary delay, remember how God used Paul in the detour in his life to do a new and great work in Malta. Ask God to show you a new plan in your life in what seems to you an unnecessary and delaying detour. Thirdly, ask God to show you how to worship him more deeply. If you become apathetic to worship, like the Jews did in Malachi's time, may the Lord shake you from your spiritual slumber and ask him to show you how to worship him with your whole life this year. Fourthly and finally, if you feel, ask God to forgive and cleanse you. If you feel you've walked through your Christian life this year, seen the difficulties in your own life, the effects of sin in the world, of evil people and injustice, and thinking, where's this God of justice? Ask him this year to forgive you and cleanse you. I want to leave you with one verse to finish. I used to, as a teenager, be a crusader. A teenage Bible study group. We used to meet on Sunday afternoons in North Staffordshire. Hands up, anybody else who was a crusader? Brilliant. Good to see crusaders here. I know the politically correct society have stopped it being called crusaders. Absolutely ludicrous, as though we're all going to be Richard the Lionhearts go around bashing everybody in the Middle East. They've now called it even worse. The Urban Warriors. What on earth is that for a name? Sounds like, to me, some South American inner city revolutionary group. Anyway, I love Crusaders. 6 years, and it was brilliant. Every January, we used to be given a verse for the year on a 9-inch by 6-inch card to stick up in our bedroom wall. I want you metaphorically to be given this verse to stick up on your wall for this next 12 months and to think about it. It comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. And it says, it's the promise from Malachi 3 verse 7, which I'm sure Darren will be developing more next week. It says, if you return to me, I shall turn back to you. May that be true of me and everybody here this morning. Amen.
Thanks, John.